Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll make a start. Let's pray. Father God, we have come here tonight for many varied reasons. But Lord, we want to invite you to come by your Spirit and speak to us, challenge us, help us. Help us to understand you, help us to trust in you, help us to acknowledge you, help us to give our lives to you, help us to be whole disciples of you, help us to understand what it means to fully follow Jesus, help us to understand what it means to fully do what the Father asks of us to do. So Lord, we pray tonight that as we gather, that you would be among us. Amen. Just a couple of questions just to start this evening. And the first question I want to ask you is, how does the seats feel tonight? I need some people to be the microphone because I haven't got any helpers tonight, I'm afraid. It's just me. Yeah, you can. So how does it feel tonight? How does it feel? That's my simple question. And then, yeah, it's switched on. You can go around. How does it feel? Well, I don't know.
It's a bit technical, this, you know.
Yeah. I am. Yeah, how do you feel in the chairs? How do you feel?
A bit disappointed.
Yeah. Anybody else? Are the words to describe how you feel?
Very formal.
Very formal. Disappointed, formal. Keep going. Shout out if you don't want to speak into the microphone. How else do you feel? So what have we got so far? Disappointed, formal, what else?
I feel great.
You feel great. I'm glad some of us feel great. That's fantastic. Anybody else? Keep going. How do you feel with the sat where you are, in the chair that you sat, in the formal that you sat at? They have done it for the last 19 weeks, and that wasn't the purpose of doing this tonight, but it's giving me a rest as well.
I think it's comfortable.
Yes, yeah, comfortable. Why is it comfortable? Explain why it's comfortable, can you?
I think we're used to sitting
like this. Yeah. Anybody else? Keep going.
We've done it.
So what we could do is we could just take this down now, couldn't we? Because it's kind of all finished, isn't it?
It's only just starting.
Okay, yeah, I can't take it down, it doesn't work. Keep going, I want 5 more, or 6 more. There's a good number of us. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. Would be a great conversation, would it, if you did that? Anybody else?
Sense of people at the front and people at the back.
Yep. So a division between the people at the front and in good Baptist fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on, next person.
Looking forward.
Yeah. Keep going. And if you didn't explain why you say what you say, that'd be really helpful as well. Another 5 people, how do you feel? For those of us who joined us this evening, it's good to welcome some of you back. What did she say? She's had a little cough. She just put her hand up to make you run. Oh, that wasn't.
A little bit sad, really, because it kind of breaks up the community.
Keep going. 4 more. Let's have 4 more if we can.
It feels more like sitting on a bus than on a pathway.
Big bus. Yeah, and 3 more. Sorry, that was just 4. 3. I was a good mathematician. 3 more.
It feels like I've gone backwards a bit, actually, because I think the one for me, like this.
19 weeks ago. Well, it feels like that. I don't know how long it has
been. It feels
been.
A bit more uncomfortable, but also a bit more passive. So
yep.
It's easy to say anything.
Yep, absolutely. One more. Yeah, let's go over there.
It's really hard to take part. It feels like it's all going to be led from the front.
Yeah.
But not someone can run around the microphone, so it'll be all
right. So in terms of a show of hands would be great. Put your hand up if you feel, thank you, for your help. Put your hands up if you feel more comfortable tonight, or put your hands up if you feel more uncomfortable. So those who feel more comfortable tonight, where you sat, put your hands up. Okay, great. And put your hand up if you feel uncomfortable sat where you sat tonight. And put your hand up if you didn't put your hand up at all. Great, thank you. It's always good to do that. The reality is this, that a good number of weeks ago when we started this, when I first asked you to move into small groups and to move into smaller groups and ask you to talk to each other, this is what you said. No, thank you. I don't really want to be in a conversation. I'd rather sit where I've sat. Interestingly, somebody said, I'd rather see the person's head in front of me than have a deep, meaningful discussion. Another person said, actually, I don't like sat in a group looking at people. Another person says, why do you have to make us move? Why can't we just sit where we want to sit? Why do you always ask us to do things that we don't want to do? That's what you said a few months ago. And actually, the reality is that the reason we kept the chairs is a great reason. Ellie and myself and Sally don't have to move them for once. But secondly is actually because actually, for some of you, you just described positive things and negative things. And some of you described actually by sat like this, you can't talk, you can't communicate, you can't do life together. And actually, some of you said just a few months ago that we feel that we've gone back. And we're not able to go forward because we've gone back to how we did it previously. Sorry? Why don't you agree with it? Microphone's here. Come and talk to us. Some people said that, didn't they? Some people said that. So I'm saying what people said. So are you saying that you disagree with what somebody said? Give your point of view there. That's what somebody just said a few moments ago. Didn't they? That's what somebody said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody said that a few moments ago. Great. The point I was making was somebody a few moments ago had their opinion, so we'll appreciate their opinion as much as we appreciate your opinion. So actually, we've come to the end of a 19-week course. Is that how many weeks it was? How many was it? Does anybody know?
18.
What?
18,
thank you. It was 18, for some of us. And actually, the reality is that God has maybe taught us things, we've understood new things, God has taught us new things, we've seen the world in a different way, we've seen our front line in a different way, we've seen people that mean something to us in a different way, we've seen opportunities in our workplace opened up to us before, we've seen neighbours that we now have a responsibility for, we've seen videos that told us to go the extra mile, we've listened to people's discussion and debate about how the church should have no walls but it should reach out into its community. We've understood this word called front line and what does it mean to be fruitful on it, not just live within it. God has taught us, if we've allowed him to, different ways of living. And the question that we face tonight is simply this: are we willing to take those things and move forward so the gospel of Jesus can be proclaimed? Or are we willing to sit back, not necessarily like this, but sit back and watch other people not come to faith in Jesus because of our responsibility? What I want you to do now is I want to give you a choice tonight. And I'm going to give you a choice. You've got a choice now to do two things. You've got a choice to stay where you are, or you've got a choice to move your chairs. And I'm going to give you that choice tonight. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm giving you the choice, okay? So I'm going to give you a piece of paper. And during this time, I want you to write down. Nobody's going to see this piece of paper. I want you to write down on this piece of paper, on one side, the thing that God's challenged me about. And on the other side, the thing I'm being disobedient about. I've done it. I've got my piece of paper here. The thing, maybe over this whole last 90 weeks, the thing God's challenged me about and the thing I'm being disobedient about. Yeah? So the thing God's challenged me about, it may be something or maybe nothing. The thing I'm being disobedient about, it may be something, it may be nothing. You don't have to write anything if you don't want to. Maybe it's going to get you a pen and sit you down and make you write anything. But what I feel challenged about and what do I feel disobedient about? Okay, and when you do that, there's a piece of paper at the front. I'm going to give you them all here. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. Is if you want to, you can unclip your chairs and you can form some circles if you want. But if you want to stay sat how you are, you can do that too. And seriously, we're not going to say, oh, look at them sat in their chairs all in rows, and look at them in their circle. We're not going to give any reference to it after this. I want to give you the option. You can either unclip the chairs and move them into circles if you want, or you can keep them in their rows. But I want to encourage everybody to come and get a piece of paper like this. And I've got no assistant, so I'll just put them here. No, they can come. That's fine. And I want you to fill in this piece of paper. And the only person who's going to see this piece of paper is Jesus. And you've got 5 minutes to do it. Ready? Steady, go. Whatever you want to do with it. I find it personally helpful, to be honest, before the Lord and just really place myself before him and say, Lord, you know, this is what you've challenged me about. And this is what, quite frankly, I want to be disobedient about. Now, I don't boast in that, but actually that is the reality sometimes. But actually what God challenges us about often can be the thing that can actually help us to be more disobedient than anything, because it actually may cost us something quite dramatic. Just a few moments ago we heard that song, and it says there, who knows what the words it said, his love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And isn't that a beautiful thing, that God's love never fades us, it never runs out on us, and it never, never leaves us. And what I want to do tonight, really, is just kind of apologies, but hopefully you'll forgive me. I just want to talk for the next, say, 10 or 15 minutes. And then what I want us to do is actually, I want us to get into groups. And I want us to spend a large proportion of our time tonight praying. There'll be some of you pray. Why are we going to pray? That's a wasted opportunity. Quite the opposite. It's through prayer that God will really help us in the next journey forwards. And just a few weeks ago, you might remember this statement, which I've read. And if you've been into my office, you may have seen it, because it's been up on the wall ever since. It's also been in the office of Ellie and Sally on the whiteboard, if you ever go into their office. And it's also been in another three places in the church, and I'll let you try and work out where they've been. But it says this: if you want to see things that you've never seen, then you've got to do things that you've never done. And some of you will read that and say, well, that's great, it's not from the Bible, so let's not take it as literal. But actually, there's a lot of things to say to us there. If you want to see things that you've never seen, then you've got to do things that you've never done. Today, this afternoon, I had the privilege of sitting down with quite a lot of the ministers in Rayleigh. And we shared lunch together and we spoke together. We didn't have an agenda and a big 42-point agenda like we did at our last meeting. Can you imagine that? It's like, I nearly want the ground to swallow me up, 42-point agenda. But actually, we were just able to sit down together and just talk to each other and just build on our friendship together. And somebody just sat to my left, said to me, Scott, I've come across this quote and I think it's really, really important for us, and I think it's really important for your church. And I said, okay, great. So as he was sat on my left, I thought, well, why don't you share it with me? And then he said, well, I'll share it with you before I go. And then he got up to go, and I thought, oh, he hasn't had the opportunity to share it with me. And then as I looked down on his chair, there's a piece of paper. And I'm not aware that he knows. He may know some of us in this church, but on that piece of paper it said, if you want to see the things you've never seen before, then you've got to do the things you've never done before. To which I then sent him a text and said, thanks for the piece of paper. What made you put that on my chair? And he said this, Scott, I came across this the other day, and the reason I gathered today was to put this on your chair, because I think you need to know, if you want to see things you've never seen before, you've got to do things you've never done before. So when I got back to the office, rather bloated, because lunch was rather nice, I looked up on my wall, and there it says, if you want to see things you've never seen, then you've got to do things you've never done. And church, I just want to take us on a little bit of a journey, really. And the journey is this. So where are we now? Where have we come from? Where are we? And where do we go? The reality is we know where we've come from. And also we know where we are. But the pit that we might not be too sure about is where we go. And so where have we come from? We've come from about a year down the line. Let's just call it a year. It is slightly more than that. But we as a church together both prayed and fasted. And we said during that time, Lord, would you speak to us? We didn't say, would you speak to the hierarchical system of our church, which we will be dissolving soon. We said, actually, will you just speak to us, your people? And so we made some time to pray. For some of us, we made some time to fast. And we spent some time as individuals, both in our small groups that were then, and also in a corporate body, we spent some time to pray and to fast and to ask God some questions. Do you remember? And we called it a week of prayer and fasting. That was an original title, wasn't it? And we called it a week of prayer and fasting. And we just simply said to the Lord, Lord, we're in a new season. We're in a new day. And in that new season and that new day, would you speak to us, your people? And actually, if you go back, which I did just this morning, to the folders, which I have in my office in a cupboard underneath my coffee machine, and read back through all those comments, we had many, many comments of speaking about God saying to us, step out, break down the walls, be different, bring the gospel to Rayleigh, etc., etc. We did that in our small groups, we did that in our leadership meetings, we did that in our church meeting, and actually we are simply God to show us the way. And we believed, if you go back and read our church members' notes, which I'm sure you all do often, I did today, and it says that actually we came together and we had all that information, and the elders of the church took that information away with them and went to a place called Hailey and drank coffee, because we did, and spent 3 days taking all that information in and praying. And as we did that, we saw that there was a clear direction that the Lord was saying to us. We compiled all that together. We came back. And from that that information, what did we do? Do you remember? We prepared a vision document, which was called the 2020 Vision Document for Rayleigh Baptist Church over the next 5 years. And in that, it said that we would look to appoint 2 new ministers, which maybe we might hopefully be appointed 1 soon. You never know. If the Lord's will is that, then praise God, I say. Not just out of desperation, but out of God's calling upon us. But actually in that, we also said that we want to be a missional people. We want to reach out with the gospel. We said that we want to see 150 people. And that wasn't my number, by the way, because I would have been a bit, you know what I'm like. But actually, this is what we came up with, and we said, how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by engaging with each other in life and fellowship and teaching, and we're going to ask God to help us do that over the next 5 years. We then said in that document that we want to have missional communities, and it's been very apparent to those of us on the leadership and those who aren't on the leadership but listen to some of the testimony that's been given at this course, at this pathway, is actually that God has started to open some clear doors for us in one of our missional communities. As I said last week, to have a phone call from a local organisation asking me to speak with them about an important issue in a local context, and the church being able to have a view and speak. So we had this 2020 vision. So we had a prayer week, we had a 2020 vision, and then actually then we started this thing called the Pathway. We started to go on a journey about what it means to be live on our front line. What does it mean to then be fruitful on our front line? What does it mean to be the people of God today? And one of the most amazing thing about that, there was lots of different quotes, but the most amazing quote that somebody once said to me, Scott, not because it hasn't been there, but at last I've heard it verbalized, that the church give me authority to go and be fruitful on my front line where God serves me, calls me to serve each and every day. And so we went through the front line, talking about what it means to be a gospel people. We then went through the pathway, looking about what it means to be fruitful on our front line. And if you remember some of the comments that came through about that, it's just that realization that we all have a responsibility to do those things. So we've prayed and we've fasted, we've done Vision 2020. We believe God has given us a vision. Hasn't given me a vision. He's called me. Remember that time when you called me? Do you remember that? That he called me and Anjanette to come because he knew our skill sets would fit what God wanted to do. And I believe he's doing that again today, and possibly one of our new appointments as well. But actually, he said to you and to us together that he would give us a vision together as God's people. And I think God was really clever doing that. Because then if he gives us all a vision together, then we all have onus and responsibility together for it, rather than saying it's somebody else's, and now I'm going to disconnect myself from it. And that vision, as it was a corporate vision, should be the thing that will spur us on and encourage us to complete it and not to walk away from it. So on the pathway after the vision, we've learnt many things together. And what we've tried to do over the last sort of 6 or 7 months when we've been doing the pathway is to get specific people in to speak to you, to come and talk to you about discipleship and what discipleship really looks like. And what we've done as well, we've intentionally tried to use the word family a lot in church life. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's been intentional because we believe God is calling us to be a family. And now we stand on this moment of another opportunity to go and live life together and to be missional in our context to see the kingdom of God grow. And I think the reality for some of us, and not for all, but for most, is that the word change in our mind seems logical, but the word change in our actions seems impossible. And actually, God says to us and to his church that I need my church to change for my church to be relevant. There is no growth without change and no change without fear. Some scholar said, William Barclay said, there's no growth without change and there's no change without fear. But our loss is when we never change and people die to fear. On Facebook, if those who use that medium, I'm kind of have a love-hate relationship with that thing. I don't think it does me good for my spirituality sometimes, but it says this. I put it on Facebook just a couple of days ago. The reason discipleship works in the church is because it empowers the church to be the church and not just come to church. The reason discipleship works in the church is because it empowers the church to be the church and not just come to church. I.e., discipleship will empower us to be the church. Not for people to come to church, but for us to be the church. For us to be living examples of the church. And one of the things we'll be looking at, it's a giveaway in the title, really, Discipleship Pathway. It's not just about having a relationship with Jesus on a couple of days a week, but it's about us being intrinsically connected with God in true discipleship. Over the last 18 weeks of discipleship, you may have laughed, you may have had moments of despair, you may have cried a lot. Can I tell you, I've laughed, I've had moments of despair, and I've also cried lots. And the reason I've cried lots is because I have a desire to see lost people saved, and I have a desire to see the church responding to that need. The reason discipleship was intended by God was for his church, us, his people, not this, but us, his people, to be empowered so the gospel will be proclaimed. See, God's intention for all of us is to be empowered. And God's intention for all of us is to be people God has called us to be. But to be empowered and to be true disciples, there's times in our lives that we need to change. Now, some of you say to Scott, well, that's okay for you. You find change easy. You don't need, if that's what you think, then you don't fully understand me. But actually, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, Jesus Christ never changes, but his mission for the world needs to be declared. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will teach you the way you should go, and I will instruct you and advise you. So what do those two verses say? The first one says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's faithful. He's faithful to you and he's faithful to me. He's faithful in the good and he's faithful in the rotten. He's faithful in the everyday and he's faithful all the time. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So actually, even when we live in a world of change, God is always the same. Because he's the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever. And then Psalm 32 says, I will teach you the ways you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. And I have a real sense, and this is my sense, and so you can have every right to disagree, but I have a sense that actually God has taught us the way we should go. He has instructed us and advised us how we should do that. And then God asks us to now go and be missional in our life groups, live life together, and see the kingdom of God come about. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. So do not lose courage or be afraid. Anybody ever lost courage? Anybody ever been afraid? I was going to try and jump, and then I've already got a sore finger, so I have a bad back, so I better, I'm falling apart. The sore finger is because the dog pulled my finger, and the bad back is because I'm fat, I think. If you have anything wrong with you and in my weight, it's always because you're too big, isn't it? That's what the doctors say. Not my doctor, the doctors. But the Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. The Lord himself will lead us and he will be with us. Isn't that just wonderful? It's so simplistic, but yet it is so profound. But it's so much forgotten by so many. It's so simple, it's so profound, but yet it's so lost by so many. The Lord himself will lead us, lead you. The Lord himself will be with us as a family. And he'll be with you as well. The Lord will not fail us when we walk in his ways and do the will of the Father. He will not fail you either. He will not abandon us and he will not abandon you. See, this is Jesus, church, I'm talking about. It's not me and it's not you, it's Jesus. So it's something that is reliable, dependable, 100%. It's not man, it's not woman. It's somebody who is perfect. It's Jesus. It's the Lord himself that says, Rainy Baptist Church, I will lead you and I will be with you. Do you believe it? Doesn't say that, but he might if he was here. Would you understand that? That he will not, I will not fail you if you walk in my ways. But I will do the opposite. I will bring you fruitfulness for your labors. I will not abandon you, but I will be with you. And then he says all that. And then it goes on to say, so do not lose courage or be afraid, because he knew how we would feel. He knew that when change comes, when demands come on us, when the church needs to be different, when we need to live differently, both in our missional context, in our life groups, and do life together like we've never done it before, possibly. I don't know, because I haven't been here. But he says, do not lose courage and do not be afraid. I don't know what that means to you tonight. Because actually, what we're going to be asking you to do in the next little while is to go into life groups. We're asking for the whole church to be connected to a life group, from a student at university to an elderly that's housebound to a 40-year-old man in his prime, or 41. Well, kind of in my prime. We're going to ask us all to do life together. We're going to ask each other to be intimate with people and do life with people that we've never done before. We're going to ask each other to walk with each other, to talk with each other, to pray with each other, to connect with each other, not just some, but all. We're going to ask ourselves to be missional, to go the extra mile, to see the opportunity that God gives us. And we're going to ask you to take those by the scruff of the neck, if you know what I mean, and just seize the opportunities that God gives us so God's kingdom can grow. And I'm sure in the history of Verity Baptist, I've read the history books, there's been times in this church when this church has been radical and this church has stepped up to the mark. You only have to speak to Val Byford. Is she here tonight? Where's Val? I did see her, didn't I? Or read the papers that she gave me when I first arrived, or read the book. And I really sense that this is an opportunity out of, yes, fear. We're fearful. We don't know what will quite come. But actually, it's to take an opportunity to faith, to say, Lord, we will change so that your kingdom can grow and that we can be fruitful because of it. And I was really drawn back to that whole story that I've just shared with you just tonight. And I hope it's been helpful to you. But God has taken us thus far, and God will take us even further. And yes, we might feel, oh my goodness, it's okay to come and sit in a chair and to talk with each other and do it like this, but now we're going to ask you to go to the next step. And we are going to ask you to do that, not out of because we haven't got anything else to give you to do, but we're going to ask you to do that out of sincere conviction about sensing that God has spoken to us. It's interesting because I spoke to somebody just the other day and I said they were not a Christian and just chatting to a friend and they said, how are you doing in your work? I said, it's all right. I said, but I'm going to have to ask the church to step out in faith. And he said, well, why should that be a problem? So you're not part of the church. He said, but if you believe that it's your God that leads you and guides you, then surely that must be an easy thing to do. And I said, well, it's not, because we're all human, and I'm human too. But it actually says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. And I really sensed this morning as I was in my study, well, my office, I wish it was more a study than an office, is I really sensed this morning as I was grappling with this today, that I believe that God wants to say that to us tonight. That he won't fail us or abandon us. He'll be with us through all the changes that may come. He wants us not to lose courage and be afraid, because he knows that that's what we'll do. Because he knows our very nature. And we've been on a journey. And it's been helpful at times. I understand for some it has been helpful. For some it hasn't, for some it's taken you a little bit further, for some it hasn't, and that's all okay too. But we said 4 weeks ago, if Jesus Christ returned a week on Friday, what would my life look like? Well, Jesus is returning a week on Friday, and let's believe that every day. And I simply want to ask you, in the most humble way I can, is to say to you, would you continue to walk in the path that God has shown us? And somebody said to me when we gave the 2020 vision, they said, is this, is this going to be difficult? I said, no, this isn't going to be difficult. Sharing the vision isn't going to be difficult. But there's going to be some roads, there are going to be some points along the way that are going to be difficult. And I think we're at one. Because God's going to ask us to do things now that we've never done before. But by asking us to do things now that we've never done before, that might be with our relationships, with each other. It may be in our missional context where our life groups are. And also in our church. He says that he will still be with us. He hasn't gone anywhere. He'll still guide us. He'll still lead us. He'll still be with us. He won't abandon us. And I think the last bit's for me, by the way. Maybe it's not for any of you. Do not lose courage or be afraid. Because I'll be honest with you, I lose courage sometimes. I'm not proud of myself for doing that. But sometimes the circumstances around me don't help me sometimes the circumstances around me force me to lose courage. And I don't know if Linda's here. And we were at Spring Harvest. Do you remember that morning? Do you remember you were sat next to me? Keith and Linda Harrison were sat next to me on the last morning. Do you remember? You're smiling. And the preacher said to us all, don't lose courage and don't be afraid. Gavin Calvin, the guy that you saw last week. Gavin Calvin is going to come and speak with us next year as a church, a Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And so I was writing to him on Facebook, just asking if he'd come, and he gave me a couple of dates. And he said, don't forget, Scott. Don't lose courage and don't be afraid. I never spoke to Gavin about that sermon. He probably has forgotten he preached it. But I just want to simply say to us, would we do the same? Would we not lose courage? Would we not be afraid? Would we understand that God himself will lead you, he'll be with you, he will not fail you, and he will not abandon you? What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a song. Oh, sorry, this is the next page. This is the church members meeting, 26th of January, about how we vote for new ministers. So that was the other meeting today. What I want to do now, whose phone is that? Is that mine? Is it mine? Is it yours? Darling, is that yours? That is yours. That's a discipline later. No, there's only one person that disciplines in our house, and it's Jesus. But what I want to do now is I want to ask you to listen to a song. And after you listen to the song, I want us to pray. That's all I want us to do. And some might say, well, why do we come out for a prayer meeting? Well, because prayer is good. And I'm going to play a song. This song's a really old song. It's been modern. It's been funked up by Governor B. Anybody know Governor B? Yeah, rap artist. I showed it to Les earlier on, and he said, yeah, play Governor B for them. That would shock him. But he's a rap artist. But we're going to play a song, and basically this song is a really old song. Some of you may know the song. It's called Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And the reality is this, church, that there's only one thing that can save our community. It's the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing that can save our neighbours, and it's the blood of Jesus. It's only one thing that can bring revival in Rayleigh Baptist Church, and it's not me. As much as I can try, it's nothing to do with me. It's the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing that can help us step out and live a life of true discipleship, and it's the blood of Jesus. And so what I want us to do is I want us to listen to this song. I've chosen, I think, a clear version where you can hear the lyrics and there's not too much drums and bass. I've been looking at it all afternoon, trying to get because some of them were too rocky. But actually, I want just to play this song, and then I want us just to, in our groups, I don't want to give you any agenda. I just want you to pray that in the next couple of weeks, as we start to, some of you will have received some notification, and we're going to meet with some leaders, and we're going to, well, the stuff's all here. We're going to start communicating stuff with people. I just want to ask you to do two things. I want you to understand that there's nothing in the world that can save people apart from Jesus and his blood. And that's why I want to play this song. But I want to ask you to maybe do something or live a way or step out in a way that you've never had before. Because when we step out and do things that we've never done before, then we see God like we've never seen God before. And it says that in Ecclesiastes. Because we believe, well, I believe, in a God of revival. I believe in a God of revival. Who was here Sunday morning? I believe in a God of revival. I believe in a God who wants to change the world. And I believe in a God who wants to use me to do it. I also believe in a God that will take me out of my comfort zones at times. And he'll teach me to love people that I've never loved before. And he'll teach me to walk with people that I've never walked before. But he always does it for his reasons and not my own. I believe in a God like that. And somebody said to me, I think it was helpful, I'm not sure. They said to me just a few days ago, Scott, I don't want to do it God's way. I'm quite happy and content doing it my way. And some of us in this room might go, oh, how dare they say that? And when I heard them say that, there's part of me that went, oh, how dare they say that? And then I looked and turned the mirror to myself and I simply said, who am I to say that? Without first looking at myself. Are we going to use this opportunity to be missional in our life groups, to be disciples? Are we going to use this opportunity to save the people in Rady? Because the only thing that can save them is the blood of Jesus. Let's just listen to this. And you may want to listen to it as a video. You may find the video distracts you. But I just want you to, as we draw to the end of this this pathway, as we take the sign down, but it looks like it's stuck, but we'll just, some of you will pull it down, won't you? I just want you to listen to this song, and I just want you to realize if you, I'm telling you to suck eggs, and one day you'll get a mature pastor, but I want you to understand that there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that's going to save people. And who has that message? You and I do. I long to see revival. I pray you do too. And that's why we are where we are. And that's why we've done what we've done. And that's why we're going to step up, step out, and step into new ways so God can have all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you. Close your eyes if you want to. Listen to it if you want to. Stand if you want to. Sit if you want to. But listen to this song. Thank you.
And this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No, nothing. Nothing but your blood. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all my praise for this I will bring, oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And suffering, your
Encourage you I wrote it down. Each and every one of us in this room knows that the blood of Jesus has saved us. And I simply want you in your groups, it's just to pray that because of that fact, God would give us courage and faith to live a life that's not selfish for our own gain, but to live a life where Jesus has every aspect, so that we here in this place and in other places and in homes and in our community will see others understand that the blood of Jesus can save them too. I simply want to ask you to now just in your groups just simply pray that God will simply help us to do things that He's asking of us to do, so that people can receive the same salvation as we have received. And that we wouldn't live a life that is selfish, but would live a life that gives to Jesus what Jesus deserves. And by that, we will see, by the faith that we preach, the faith that we pray, and the faith that we live by, that we will see people come to faith. That's what we want. Sorry, that's what I want. Because it's what Jesus says. I don't want much else. But I want to see this community transformed by the power of Jesus. And I want to see people in our community understand that the blood of Jesus can save them too. But the reality is that it starts with me and it starts with you. Would you pray? And we're going to pray for, I'll give you a bit of pre-warning so you don't. We're going to pray for a good 20 minutes. So just turn to each other and just pray. Just pray whatever God lays on your heart. No instructions but to pray. Pray. Maybe I can some light. Let's have no music so we can hear each other. But just pray. Whatever God places on your heart. draw your prayers to a kind of close. We're going to pray just to finish. And I'm going to ask us to do something which, if it seems crazy and wacky, then maybe it is. But what I'm going to ask us to do now is, I want maybe this group of people here, maybe from where Steve, from you up to Antoinette, what I want you to do is, I want you to just go in a minute and I want you to step outside the church and I want you just to pray for God's kingdom, And then I want these people here, these people here, I want you to stay in here for a minute and I just want you to pray that when we gather, not just in this location, but in our other locations, that as we gather, that we would encounter God. Is that all right? Yeah, is that cool? Yeah? And then you people here, I want you to go and stand down the corridor, Not because we don't like you. Go and stand by the corridor, and I want you to just pray that whoever's there at the moment, that's Jonathan and I, and we do really need your prayers. But also for those who will come, that God will call those who God needs to call to come. And that's kind of our ministerial corridor, we call it, but it's not, because you all come down. But can you just pray for that? And then I want to ask you here, I want to ask this group here, is I want you to stand on the grass, and you can stand on the grass. I think it looks a bit like Queens, Andy mows it for us. But I want you to stand on there, and I want you to pray, for all of our young people and our children that come in that part of our church, that God will just raise up within these young people and children. I hate this saying, they're the church of the future. No, they're not, the church of today. And just pray that God will just give them the courage and the boldness just to live for Jesus, And then you in the middle here, so you're from, are you, Mr. Howard, you in this group here in the middle, Is that right? And this group here, I want you to stand by where my car is, and I want you to give it a valet. No. I'm only joking. I want you to stand where my car is, in that little passageway, because how many hundreds of people a month come down that passageway? And they come, and they pull funny jokes like today with John. And they come to play away, and they come down to knit and sew and you know what I mean, all that, what's it called, weaving, quilt, thank you thanks, and the what's it called, play away, and all the other stuff that goes on. Pardon? Keep what? Oh, calm myself down. You could do a bit of keep fit where you're there. And I want you just to go and do that, for 5 minutes. And I don't want you to be British prayers. I want you just to claim it for Jesus, And then we'll all quickly gather, and then I'll pray, and then we can all go, because I've got another meeting to go to, even if you haven't. So go, 1, 2, 3, go. Is that all right? Yeah, that's all right. We're doing the other. Okay, is that most groups back? I think it is. For those who are outside, God bless you. It was a bit nippy out there, wasn't it? Let's stand if we can, and just kind of pray. Part of me just wants to say amen. Amen. So let me just pray, and then we'll make our way. In terms of just enclosure, in terms of life groups, would you just trust us as soon as is possible? We'll give you all the information. What I will say is if you're in a small group, enjoy the next few months to say goodbye. I'm joking with you. Let's pray, because we know, I need to. It's probably better if I pray than do nothing else. No, no, I'm only joking. I'm terrible. But God loves me, sort of. Let's pray. Father God, we just simply want to say amen to the prayers that have been spoken. And we want to say, Father God, would you just do in us and through us what your will is for us. Lead us and guide us and inspire us and teach us. Help us to be sold out for Jesus. And help us to proclaim that actually nothing else matters. Just Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you will help us as a church. Help us to love and learn to love and keep learning to love, how to live together. And we pray that when we see, if not we have already seen, but when we see more of your kingdom at work in this place, that we will give you all the glory and the honor and the praise that is due your name, because it is all for your glory and praise. So bless each and every one of us tonight as we go. If we go with fear, strengthen us. If we go with worries, talk to us and speak to us. If we go with moments of difficulty and struggle in our life at the moment, may we invite you into it. But let us go knowing that as we go tonight, your love never fades. Your love for us, even me, never gives up. That you're faithful to us. Amen. Have a good evening. The pathway on a Tuesday night is now officially started.